Imagine spending nearly half of your entire paycheck just on the bus ride to work, like every single day.
Yeah, it is a brutal reality for millions of people.
Right. And for people on the Western Cape, that is not a hypothetical scenario. It is their daily life, basically inherited from this decades-old spatial blueprint. So today we are doing a deep dive into how a region actually tackles structural challenges that massive.
Exactly. We are looking at the Western Cape's 2019 to 2024 strategic plan.
Okay, let's unpack this because, you know, it is essentially a survival and growth manual for a society under immense pressure.
Yeah, and their core vision relies on what they call five vision-inspired priorities, or VIPs. It is this multi-layered strategy to build a prosperous province, despite some pretty massive national hurdles.
Well, you really can't run an economy if the basic hardware is failing, right? I mean, think of a region's economy like a smartphone.
Ooh, I like that analogy.
Yeah, so power and safety, those are your battery and your operating system. If the battery is completely dead and the OS is corrupted, you just cannot run any individual apps, like, you know, specific economic programs.
Or the apps just crash.
Exactly. And the source material shows us the battery is draining so fast. I mean, rolling blackouts cost their economy 75 million rand per stage per day.
Wow, per day.
Yeah. And youth make up nearly 67% of the unemployed. So trying to attract investment without fixing basic safety and power, it is like trying to sell a house that is currently on fire.
What's fascinating here is how the plan actually bypasses normal constitutional limits to fix that hardware. Because normally policing and energy, those are run by the central national government.
Right. The province usually has to just wait for them to act.
Exactly. But waiting is not an option here. So the province is stepping in locally. They are directly funding their own local law enforcement officers to, stabilize those high
But
crime areas.
really, they just fund their own. That is a huge shift.
Yeah, it is. And for energy, they are not just buying backup generators. They actually established the Atlantis Special Economic Zone.
Okay, what is that exactly?
So it is a designated area with targeted tax incentives and streamlined regulations. It is specifically designed to attract green tech manufacturers to build, like, long-term energy resilience.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because once that hardware is actually running, economic growth means absolutely nothing if the citizens physically cannot access it.
Precisely. Which is why the plan shifts focus right down to individual lives.
Yeah, starting at birth, they highlight this first 1,000 days initiative, and the data here is incredible. Proper health and nutritional support in a child's first 1,000 days physically wires the brain differently.
It is a total life course approach.
Right. And it boosts adult earnings by up to 20%.
But, human empowerment at that biological level, it hits a hard wall if we do not address spatial transformation, which is actually their fourth VIP priority.
I want to push back on that, though, because how do you realistically empower people when, like the source notes, poor households spend up to 43% of their income just on transport?
Yeah, it is a staggering number.
It really is. And it is due to the legacy of apartheid spatial planning, which intentionally engineered marginalized people out of economic centers. So how does a strategic plan undo decades of literal physical concrete?
Well, it requires aggressively redesigning the urban layout. The main mechanism they're using is mixed-use, mixed-income spaces.
Okay, like what?
Take the Conradie Better Living model. Instead of just building housing projects way out on the outskirts of the city, they take highly valuable, centrally located, state-owned land.
Oh, wow, right in the center.
Yeah, and they develop it with affordable housing, commercial spaces, and schools all in one single spot.
Right, bringing everything together.
Exactly. And to bridge the existing gaps, they're also fighting to fix failing infrastructure, like the central rail line, physically linking those inherited divides so people are not trapped by geography.
So, what does this all mean? I mean, ambitious urban redesigns and social interventions, they sound great on paper,
You definitely do.
but they require serious governmental machinery to actually execute. How does a massive traditional bureaucracy pull off mixed income land development without just drowning in its own red tape?
Well, they have to completely restructure their internal incentives, which brings us to their fifth priority, innovation and culture. The government is actively shifting its DNA away from a rigid, compliance-only mindset.
Toward a more citizen-centric culture, right.
Yeah.
But practically speaking, what does shifting government DNA look like on a random Tuesday? Because bureaucracies are famously designed to avoid risk at all costs.
That is true. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, It means changing the entire metric of success for civil servants.
Okay, so how do they measure it now?
Rather than rewarding frontline staff purely for following rules without any errors, they are implementing frameworks that encourage calculated risks.
It's like a startup. It's exactly like a startup. If an employee tries a new way to expedite a housing permit and it fails, it is treated as a data point for a learning loop, not a punishable offense.
That is huge. They are trying to make the bureaucracy agile by actually trusting the people on the ground to iterate on the citizen experience.
Spot on.
So for you listening, it really reveals this massive interconnected ecosystem. You do not get a thriving economy without securing power and safety.
Nope, you really don't.
And you cannot break cycles of poverty without redesigning the cities. And you definitely cannot build any of those solutions without a government culture that actively encourages innovation instead of just blind compliance.
This raises an important question. If a strategic plan demands that 21st century civil servants become these tech-savvy, collaborative risk-takers, how might adopting that startup-like mentality completely redefine the way governments function worldwide?
It is such a provocative thought to leave you with. If a region can figure out how to stabilize its foundation, rewrite its internal rulebook, and physically rebuild its environment all at the exact same time, it could genuinely become the ultimate blueprint for navigating structural crises anywhere.